Shalom, everyone. Prime Minister Netanyahu met with President Trump this week, beginning on Monday for a couple of days, then later on to the Congress and to the Pentagon for a total of 4 days this week. They discussed the Gaza ceasefire and hostage release, but Netanyahu did not return home with a full agreement with Hamas. They're still working it. U.S. sanctions are now moving against Iran's shadow bank and shadow fleet, Iran's effort to get around the other sanctions. And the IDF has carried out a number of military strikes in Gaza and different operations in Lebanon against Hamas operatives as well as Hezbollah operatives. The Haredi draft is now increasing, and the AG is moving against the evaders despite the protests of the religious parties. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Here's the news for July 11th, 2025, this week. Benjamin Netanyahu came to the White House last Monday and met with President Trump. For 2 days they met. Interestingly enough, there was not a lot of press conference associated with it. Obviously, it was an intensive working meeting. They were working on the Gaza ceasefire and trying to put together the ceasefire and hostage release effort. Now, Netanyahu also met with congressional leaders and briefed them on what's going on with Israel, appreciated their support. And also, Netanyahu was hosted at the Pentagon by Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. And part of that included honoring General Kirilla, who was the CENTCOM commander, thanking him for his efforts as he marshaled and led the U.S. forces that were involved with the Iran operation, the 12-day war. Israel achieved in this, and it's now been reported, air superiority over Iran in a matter of 48 hours. That is nothing short of a miracle in a modern world today. Russia has not been able to achieve that over Ukraine in 3.5 years. It was like two lions who rose and roared. That was the discussion that was going on about Israel and the United States and their operation against Iran. If you'll remember, the Iranian operation was Rising Lion, and so they suddenly used that picture of two lions rose up against Iran, not just one. The world definitely took notice of this operation, military operation that took place. The Middle East definitely took note of it. And of course, the president, as well as the operators in Israel and in the U.S. Defense Department, are hoping that through strength it will lead to peace. This is a transformative moment for the Middle East. However, the game is still on with Iran. Iran has not been, quote, defeated, and they do know there will be future activities associated with it. But for others, other nations around there, this was a transformational element, and peace is now popping out all different kinds of places. The Abraham Accords are now being discussed by multiple nations, and there's a sense, if you will, of good things that will be coming, as opposed to war, as opposed to the tension caused by Iran. In Gaza, part of it is they're moving the Gazans to the Freedom Zone and away from the Hamas operatives. They're trying to get the Palestinian people away and at the same time allowing some of the Gazans, if they want, to leave Gaza to go to other nations. They've been looking for other nations to receive some of them. At this point, not other nations are so interested in it. It's interesting, other nations will accept all kinds of refugees from other nations, but not from Palestine. That's a whole nother commentary on its own. Going back to the hostage deal, again, as I reported last week, they're talking about the release of 10 live hostages. That's half of them that remain. Half of the dead, 18 of them, in a course of a 60-day ceasefire. This would come in 5 installments. There wouldn't be any Hamas celebration like they've done in the past. They simply would be released at those times. And the idea is during the 60 days to be able to negotiate for a complete end to the war, a complete return of hostages and the dead bodies, full release of all of the hostages. That's the effort. Now, the U.S. is hoping to use this as a vehicle to bring the whole Gaza war to a conclusion. And the U.S. is quietly hinting at, they're not saying it directly, but they don't want Israel to resume the fighting after the 60 days. They want to find a solution for it. But of course, the question is, what do you do with Hamas? Is Hamas still going to be there after 60 days? Israel has definitely vowed their defeat and that Hamas must die. Now, Hamas, and the reason why there's a hesitancy to agree to the ceasefire at the moment, is they want the IDF elements to pull back in certain regions of the Gaza Strip to the previous ceasefire point. And the reason they want to do that is because that's a better hope. There'll be a conclusion of the whole war at the end, and the IDF won't be in a position to pursue the Hamas operatives when it shuts down. Now, not pulling back, and Israel is insisting that the troops are going to stay where they're at, that means that at the end of the 60-day, if we don't have all the hostages back, that Israel is in the position to finalize and go after Hamas. Now, Israel has said very clear, no more Hamas. This must be understood. And he's clearly communicating that to the U.S., to all other nations that are interested in the Middle East, and to Hamas. Israel is not going to tolerate Hamas to remain. Now, Iran has, in the background of this all going on and the 12-day war, they've been cheating the sanctions that have been set up by the UN and by the United States and other nations by building what is called a shadow bank and a shadow fleet. This is a bank that isn't the normal bank of Iran where they can handle the transactions, and there's a set of ships belonging to other nations but under control of Iran. Not Iranian ships, but actually controlled by Iran. And that's the way they're getting around the sanctions put on by the various nations against Iran to be able to sell more oil to get more money. The U.S. has now uncovered that, knows who all the elements are that are involved with it, and they're now moving against it to sanction even that, to cut off the flow of oil, cut off the flow of money that Iran is desperately wanting for it. They're entering into negotiations with Iran with the idea in mind to change their ways. Now, this is going to be very hard because we're not expecting the Persians there in Iran to agree to it. But they're going in with the position you got to stop setting up proxies and paying for little micro wars around the Middle East. You got to stop threatening the U.S. there in the Persian Gulf area and stop threatening Israel. I don't think that they're going to convince Iran to do that until there's a regime change. At the moment, the goal is not regime change. The goal is for negotiation. So I'm not optimistic that these negotiations are going to go forward. Iran, as you know, is experts at delaying negotiations and wasting a lot of time. The IDF this last week uncovered more terrorist operatives in the Gaza Strip and went in, isolated them, and bombed the buildings where they're at, taking out additional tunnels, blowing up buildings that were full of booby traps and destroying them as well. One of the things they did this week was they sent drones in. They had tracked Hamas operatives living in tents in the humanitarian zone. The Hamas operatives were hiding amongst the people in the tents that they have set up. And they tracked them in there, and then after the other people had moved away from that tent, then they sent drone attacks in and killed those Hamas operatives without killing any of the other folks. So Hamas cannot escape Israel. As I said last week, they're the walking dead. Israel is bound and determined to go after every one of them, and apparently they know every one of them, and they're going after them wherever they're at. They also went after a key Hamas leader that happened to be up in Lebanon. They found him and they took him out as well. They also took out a Hezbollah leader who was up in Lebanon and was working cooperatively with some of the others. being hostile toward Israel, and they took him out by a drone. The Lebanese government clearly wants to get Hezbollah disarmed. They want their weapons away from them. Hezbollah is balking and said they won't release their weapons. But Lebanon no longer wants to be housing the area of Hezbollah for any future attacks against Israel whatsoever. So one of the things that has come out of now that we are a couple of weeks away from this 12-day war that took place, and this is an interesting commentary that came out of some Hezbollah leaders about the whole situation with Iran, about the situation with Gaza and so forth. And it clearly, he simply stated it this way: we totally underestimated Israel's ability to defend themselves. I think what they really underestimated was Israel's God, who also protects Israel and neither slumbers nor sleeps. They completely underestimated that. And this was a shocking discovery for them to find out. And from the moment of those little pagers going off on the belts of the Hezbollah leaders, the whole Middle East began to shift. All of a sudden, Israel had more capability than the enemies realized they had. Now, we are at a moment in which that, and there are a number of people that are starting to speak to this in Israel, leaders, counselors, and so forth. We need to have some out-of-the-box thinking right now about the whole Middle East, about the government of Israel, about the map of the Middle East, about the different nations that are there. And we need to seize the opportunity to do good things for the Middle East. One of those items that's being discussed is to set up a new threat level for Iran. If Iran is going to continue to do what they've been doing in the past, there needs to be a new threat level given to them that says if they cross the line, it'll be even worse for Iran than what they've already gotten. That's a necessary deterrent for them. It's also time for Israel to rethink the definition of Israel, the Palestinian people there in the land of Israel, and that means annex Samaria and Judea, the West Bank region, including East Jerusalem. Make it one land and one people that live there. It's time for Israel to assert sovereignty over the Temple Mount. It is the crown jewel of the nation of Israel. It is the focal point of the whole nation. We've been on this path of pursuing the land of Israel, pursuing the city of Jerusalem, pursuing the capital of Jerusalem. Now it's time to go to the Temple Mount and on up. And the reason why we need to seize this moment is because there's bigger conflicts still coming. I'm not saying that based on what some nation may be saying at the moment and some other superpower and what they're saying against Israel. I'm talking about what the Bible has to say that will be happening at the end of the age. And it talks about an even greater conflagration that will be coming to Israel. Now is the time to get ready for that. In Israel, as you know, the Haredi students, these are the ultra-Orthodox, who the religious parties have kept them out of the IDF, but now the law has terminated that exempts them from it, and their efforts to try to put a new law to exempt the Haredi students from going into the IDF has not passed. Now, a whole bunch of them have been drafted, 54,000 of them. And the government is now moving toward, they're going to execute the order to bring them into the IDF. The Attorney General has slated to begin to arrest some of the evaders for it. And the religious parties simply are not successful in the Knesset, moving the Knesset to help support their cause. Many, and the vast majority of citizens in Israel, want to see the ultra-Orthodox, the Haredi, serve in the IDF just like their sons and daughters have to do mandatory service as well. And they want to see them be part of the nation instead of isolated and separate from it. Antisemitism is now rampant here in the United States. The school year is getting ready to start up again this fall, and we're going to see more of it. Democratic governors and legislatures are not opposing the anti-Semitism, the anti-Jewish behavior going on in their states, in the different institutions that are in those states, and the hatred of the Jews and anyone supporting Israel is ever increasing in our nation. It's shocking and stunning. I never thought I would see the day from my youth to this day of how open the anti-Semitism is and the Jew hatred is here for it. The Israel guys, who have a broadcast from the land of Israel, spoke to this very directly. Here's a clip from them addressing the point of the anti-Semitism and Jewish hatred.
Just to kind of dwell on the growing anti-Semitism, not only in the United States, but around the world, the let's call it the woke right, for lack of a better term, right, for right now, whether they're supposed Christians or Catholics or just supposed conservative commentators, like, I was pretty aghast at the rhetoric that's come out in the last couple of weeks. People literally saying that, you know, we're entering World War, if the United States gets involved with Iran, we'll be entering World War III. People claiming thousands of American soldiers will die, will be killed, you know, air military bases all across the world and the Middle East will be attacked.
And Israel's going to be to blame.
And Israel will be to blame for everything. Also, like, the rhetoric that Israel controls America and controls the American administration is just overwhelming. And all of that has led into an overwhelming amount of Jew hatred, which is a much clearer term for anti-Semitism. Like, I'm just tired of using the word anti-Semitism anymore, because people literally hate Jews and hate the nation of Israel with a vengeance.
What's so funny about them is they're saying, oh no, Israel's been replaced. Israel's not important. Israel's just an irrelevant issue. And yet all of world history and all of the spotlight is on Israel and the Jews. And everyone's talking about it. Are they replaced? Are they not replaced? No, they're just, they're the ones that control America. And it's like, well, listen, what they're doing is they're just proving that they are the center stage of this, like, the theater of redemption is the land of Israel. And as their all eyes are on Israel, they're just proving that we haven't been replaced and that the redemption is unfolding through us. And whether they are from the right or from the left or anti or pro, they're just showing that Israel is the center stage.
Coming back to here in the United States, this is a time in which that we need spiritual preparation. There's not a lot of physical preparation that we need to do here, but for the things that are happening in the world, the things happening in our nation, and all of us have a sense of this, that it's ominous and negative. We need to spiritually prepare for this. We need to answer two questions. Who are we? And who do we believe in? And we need to be able to answer those directly and specifically. That is what's going to carry the day into the future conflict that we'll have around our nation. For me, I am Israel, and I believe in the God of Israel. I'm an American citizen, but I say I'm Israel because, you see, God told me that when I believed in the Messiah, I became part of the seed of Abraham, and I'm part of Abraham's family. Israel is part of Abraham's family. So I'm Israel. I'm part of Abraham's family. You are too, if you believe in Yeshua the Messiah, in the God of Israel, the King of Israel, by the way. And we need to understand that this conflict that's coming against Israel over there is also coming against us here in this nation. We need to continue to pray for our country. Continue to pray for all of the things that are taking place to see God's perfect will take place in the world that we're living in these days. Please like, subscribe, and comment on our YouTube channel. Subscribe to lionandlamb.tv for all of our programs. And if you have questions about the Bible or about prophetic times that we're living in, we have a program called Good Questions, Real Answers. You can send your questions in directly on that. We broadcast that on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m., and it's up there available for you to check out. And if you have an interest in those deeper subjects, send your questions in, and we'll do our best to answer them for you. We always offer a free subscription to our Yavo magazine. This is the July issue. We'd love to send that to you, or you can get it online and view it there directly. And, of course, we have all of the social media platforms. Check those out. If you would, you can find out our other content. Our big Feast of Tabernacles event is coming up this fall. That's where brethren are going to come together from all over the nation. And I guarantee you, at this Feast of Tabernacles, We're going to have a lot to say and a lot to talk about how the world has changed this year, things going on in Israel, and how it's going to directly affect us. Registration for that event is now open. Go to tabernacleseevent.com. We would love to have you come. It's for the whole family. Until then, Shalom Aleichem.